Hey guys, do you like pop culture happenings? Do you like to keep up to date on all the nerdy news? Then you're in the right place. I'm Troy Stegner with Zia Comics, Talk Nerdy to Me, and I'm going to give you all the nerdy news for this Sunday. It being a weekend and Sunday, it's a little slow, but there's still some stuff I can show you, so let me just minimize myself to the bottom corner here. Oh, sorry for that psychedelic looking video. But here we go. We're going to start with games. Nintendo, I told you a while back, is doing the Pokemon Let's Go for Pikachu and Eevee. They are taking it on the road. It's a game for Nintendo, I believe the Switch. I'm not sure if it's going to be on their other platforms. But it's going to tie in with the Pokemon Go app that you can get on your smartphone or tablet. It's going on a U.S. tour. It's only a handful of cities, mostly the big cities. So if you live close to a big city, you're lucky. For this, you're going to have different demos of the Nintendo Switch games. Fun photo opportunities, special giveaways while supplies last. And there'll be a special Pokemon Snapchat filter that'll only be available if you're within the vicinity of the truck. And there will be a higher frequency of Pikachu and Eevee sightings around these trucks. It's kind of cool. Not bad. There's none near me, unfortunately, but let me just show you right here the dates and cities. For my podcast friends, you got San Francisco, October 6th, Seattle, October 13th, Dallas on October 20th, Topeka on October 27th, Chicago, November 3rd, Boston, November 10th, and New York on November 15th. So, yeah, if you don't live near one of those cities, sorry, I don't either. I feel your pain. I would love to go see one of these Nintendo Let's Go trucks and check out all this cool stuff they have to offer. Maybe if this is a success, Nintendo will expand it into more cities. Cross your fingers. Got to catch them all. Okay, there is a trademark dispute with Marvel. This popped up. E-cig, it's a vaping thing, an e-cig company from Hong Kong. Shenzhen iJoy AI Technology Company Limited. That's a mouthful. Of Hong Kong, applied to get a trademark for their new vaping products, and the name alone is not enough to throw up the red flag. Avenger, they're calling their stuff Avenger. The problem is the font is so close to the actual Avengers logo from the comic books and the movies. I mean, this is the e-cig Avenger logo. This is from the comic books, and this is from the films. That is just so close. I think Marvel has a good case on this. They'll probably win in trademark court. I don't vape. I'm not against it, though. I just never got into smoking. I couldn't do it. I guess I'm just not cool enough. But as far as e-cigs go, this thing looks rather cool. And the kicker is, it's voice controlled. So I don't know. I know Marvel is trying to stay away from the whole smoking thing. I don't think they have any characters who smoke. Even characters who are notorious for smoking cigars and stuff, like Nick Fury and Wolverine, you'll notice they don't do that in the newer comics. They're trying to keep away from that. I guess they don't want to influence kids to start smoking. So, like I said, Marvel has been granted an extension to oppose the trademark. I don't think they're going to have any problem proving that is, I mean, very, very close. It's almost like they're just trying to ride on their coattails. So, good luck, Marvel. Protect your property. Harley Quinn, DC Comics. Harley Quinn number 51. There may be some spoilers here, so if you don't want spoilers, don't listen to this part. Forward it. You don't want to know. If you don't care about spoilers, keep listening. There is an exclusive preview for next week's Harley Quinn number 51. If you read number 50, you see that she just really jacked up the whole continuity timeline. And now there's a Captain Triumph in Harley Comics. Captain Triumph, they didn't just make this up. This is an actual character back from the 40s. Captain Triumph, I believe, started in Quality Comics or Crack Comics. And it was a property that DC bought up, and they used him very sparingly. His origin's really kind of weird. He is a twin. Him and his brother both had a T-shaped birthmark on their, I believe, on their wrist. I don't remember which side. Something happened. His brother was killed in a sabotage attack. Died in his arms, you know, and then he vowed to get revenge for his brother's death. The Fates, who are the three old hags that, you know, control all the reality, I guess. I believe in Greek mythos there are Apropos, Clothos, and I can't remember the other one. But they have different names here in DC Comics. They decided that it was very heroic of what, you know, Captain Triumph, his name wasn't Triumph at that time, what he was trying to do. I believe his name was Lance Gallant. Gallant, yeah. Real imaginative with the names. So they gave him a kind of a superpower. His brother's ghost, they allowed to remain on Earth. He could merge with his ghost by touching the birthmark, the matching T birthmarks they had. It would merge him and give him these ghostly powers. He could fly. He was almost invulnerable. A couple other things. And when they were, you know, then he could touch it again and it would send the ghost away. He could communicate with the ghost. He'd send him, you know, through walls to do recon because nobody else could see the ghost. Then he'd come back. It was not a bad concept, just never really took off. They tried to bring him back in with the All-Star Squadron and the Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters, and they couldn't get him to gain traction. So we hadn't really seen him much until now. They're bringing him back into Harley Quinn, number 51. He's running around, you know, doing his do-gooder stuff. Harley's trying to get him back into his own timeline continuity. And, of course, it's Harley Quinn, so she runs into some issues doing that. So you will get to read that on October 3rd, this coming new comic book day. It's going to be on the shelves, Harley Quinn number 51. If you like Harley's hijinks, then pick that up. Star Wars fans. The comic book, ever since Marvel and Star Wars got pulled under Disney, they've been doing a really good job of keeping continuity, or canon, I guess you'd want to say, between the comics and the movies. They revealed a little bit of Han Solo's history in the comic book. In the movie, they alluded to the fact, you know, that he enlisted in the Imperial Army, actually wanted to be a pilot. One of the cut scenes was, you know, him not taking orders well as an Imperial pilot, which is how he got booted down to the infantry. In the movie, it went straight from him enlisting to him being in that mud planet in the infantry. Just watch that deleted scene. The DVD Blu-ray is out now. It's a good scene. I wish they would have left it in, but I guess they had to cut it for time. You see Han in the comic book. This is before the attack on the Death Star. The last sortie they went on, the Millennium Falcon got beat up pretty bad. Bad enough that they couldn't fly it. So Han is going out to, and he's traveling with the Rebels because that's really his only way to escape Vader at that point. He jumps into an X-Wing and goes, wearing the orange flight suit and everything, goes out and helps Luke take care of the Imperial forces. Of course, it's an X-Wing. You know how tiny those cockpits are, so Chewie can't go with him. Chewie's upset. They don't make fighter. That's like putting a big dude in a sports car. It just doesn't work. Chewie needs to be in something like a freighter, like the Millennium Falcon. So, yeah, you get to actually see Han when he's out there fighting with the Rebels. He's actually taking orders, working as part of a group, which is something you don't ever see him do in the movies or in any of the books up to this point, actually. So he can actually take orders and fight as a group. He just kind of doesn't like doing it. So, yeah, you got Han flying in his orange jumpsuit, helping the rebels, the resistance. And when he jumps into the fight, of course, he's such a good pilot, it actually helps turn the tide of the battle. Let's go into some proposed stuff. Tiffany Haddish, I think you'll see her most recently in Night School with Kevin Hart, that movie coming out. She has expressed interest in playing Wonder Woman's sister. Did you know she had a sister? Yeah, but you didn't. Her sister's name is Nubia. And that is a take on the word Nubian, because her sister is black. And how they retconned the history once, but originally how it happened was when Wonder Woman's mom made her out of clay. She made two. She made a light one and a dark one out of clay. The gods brought her, both of them, to life. But then the god Mars swooped in and stole Nubia away and took her, and she became a big warrior. She found out later that she had a sister. Her sister is just as powerful as her, probably even more so. And the sword that she has that was given to her by the gods actually counteracts the lasso. So the lasso has no effect on her. There's no word if she is going to be in the new Wonder Woman movie coming out November 1st, 2019. That character anyway, maybe even if they just allude to her, that would be kind of cool to see her sister in there. Nubia is actually credited as one of the first black female characters in comics, superhero characters. So that's kind of cool. That's a little trivia to stick under your hat there. The only thing that has been confirmed is one of the main villains is going to be Cheetah, played by Kristen Wiig. And Cheetah is a longtime Wonder Woman villain. In the comics, Cheetah just picked up some new powers. She can kill gods now. She killed, was it Poseidon? I think she killed Poseidon in one of the newer issues. So keep an eye out for Nubia. Hey, you can go impress your friends with that little nugget of knowledge there that Wonder Woman does have a sister, a badass sister who could probably whoop her. And now you know that person's origin, so maybe you can win a bet with your friends. Venom is coming out this week. The next, they're already pretty well through all the production stuff for their next Spider-Man or Spider-Verse spinoff, Morbius. I think I've told you guys about this before. They've already cast Jared Leto to be the lead as Morbius. I think he would do a good job as Morbius. If you don't know about this character, back during the Comics Code days, when they tried to self-police themselves because, you know, society was saying that comic books were bad and evil and you couldn't have all stuff in there. So instead of bowing down to them, they decided to self-police. So instead of zombies, they had characters called Zoovimbies. They had Morbius wasn't really a vampire. He was kind of created himself by accident. He had a rare blood disease. He was a biologist. He was trying to research how to cure himself. And during that process, of course, you know, like all good scientists, he tested on himself. And yeah, that's what happened. And it turned him into a pseudo vampire. So it's an interesting story. He's a good character. He's another one you don't, only the true comics people know that name. If you're not into comics, especially if you're not into Spider-Man comics, which is where he kind of got his start, I believe it was number 101. Yeah, right here. It's Amazing Spider-Man 101. Then you probably haven't heard of Morbius. Really good, flawed character. Because they were going to do. That next one was going to be Silver and Black, which was going to be Silver Sable and Black Cat teamed up, which are two very iconic Spider-Man characters. That one kind of got delayed. They don't. I never really heard a good reason why. It's just. Decided we're not going to do it. They pushed it back. Morbius, as far as I know, is still chugging along. It's going to. Is going into production here soon. Here's what I'm kind of excited about. They're saying Sony's also going to be making movies on Kraven the Hunter, Silk, and Nightwatch. Nightwatch, not so much. It's a really weird character. He witnessed some superhero looking dude die. He went and unmasked that guy, and it was an older version of him. So he freaked out and grabbed the suit and went and tried to hide for a while, and then decided, yeah, I'm not hiding anymore. I'm just going to come out. And he started fighting crime with that advanced suit with nanotech stuff in it. That character never really caught on, even though he was used quite a bit. Just never really caught on. Silk is a newer character coming out of Spider-Man. She was bitten by the same radioactive spider as Peter, but she went down a different life path. And she's a really, really interesting character. If you haven't read anything of Silk, you might want to look that up. Too extensive to talk about here. And then Kraven the Hunter. Kraven the Hunter, one of my favorite Spider-Man villains. Dude actually bested Spider-Man, became Spider-Man for a little while. That was his whole thing. He has hunted every formidable thing you can hunt on Earth. So Spider-Man was his next conquest. He did that, and he was happy. The Kraven the Hunter is one bad. You don't want Kraven looking for you. That dude would be a killer bounty hunter. So we're looking in the future for those three spin-offs coming out of the Sony Spider-Verse. Sony does not have a good track record with superhero movies. Let's hope that they've learned and sat back and watched what's working for Marvel, because Marvel is just absolutely killing it for superhero movies. Cross your fingers, because there's a lot of good spin-offs they can take out of the Spider-Verse. Let's go to the next thing. And the last article I have for y'all, Sentry. That's another character a lot of people, if you're not a comics nerd, you probably don't know about Sentry. They're kind of going to change him up a little bit now. Sentry is super. He has like three different personality type forms. Sentry is the ultimate do-gooder, pretty much invulnerable, super strong. He's so strong, he ripped Ares in half. Ares is a god. The god, the god of war, no less. Ripped him in half like it was nothing. He's the one who took Carnage up in space and ripped him in half like it was nothing. He really can't die. He's tried to commit suicide a few times. He flew directly into the sun, and he gets regenerated. Plus, he's super strong. He can fly. Dude is just OP. He is the definition of overpowered. His human form is Bob Reynolds, who is kind of an overweight. Let me see. I got a picture somewhere. Nope, I don't. Just an overweight dude, on Earth. And he has the Sentry form in him. He also has the opposite of Sentry, the ultimate evil, called the Void. It's like as much as the Sentry is good, the Void is kind of that yin and yang deal. So whatever the Sentry does good, the Void tries to counteract it by doing just as much bad. Bob Reynolds kind of got his powers by being injected with a hyped up version of the super soldier serum they gave Captain America. Is supposedly 1,000 times more advanced and stronger than what Captain America got. And I can believe it because, like I said, character is just so completely over the top strong. So, telling you those three things, you get Bob Reynolds, who's the human form. Sentry is the do-gooder. Void is the bad dude. I'll just leave it. That's the simplest way to tell you. Bob Reynolds kind of was afraid of what would happen by using Sentry because that would also unleash Void. So he kind of retired from superheroing for a while. Now something happened that they kind of merged all three. So you got that, Void and Sentry kind of counteracting each other, good and evil, with the moral compass of Bob Reynolds in there, trying to lead them the right way. So this new Sentry, which I'm showing you here, new suit and everything. He went from yellow to red on his suit. I guess they're going to, and black hair, he's not blonde anymore. He almost looks like a Dragon Ball character here. Like he's getting ready to go Super Saiyan. Sentry, yeah, this new Sentry with all, with him everything in check and him kind of balanced now. They're even saying that this all new Sentry, and I'm quoting, is the most terrifying Marvel Universe character right now. He's gonna be unstoppable. The only way to get to him it would be mentally to try to take him down. But there's just no way physically you're going to stop him. He's going to do what he wants. Yeah. But, like I said, the Sentry is so good. The evil is evil. The Void is evil. Those things counteract. So he's got balance now, being led by the human personality, Bob Reynolds. Kind of interesting. Really kind of interesting. He's almost like above a Superman level. I'm generally not a fan of overpowered characters like that. Let's see how they write him. They're going to have to give him some kind of weakness, otherwise he's just going to be unlikable. Nobody likes a completely overpowered character that much. We'll see. Like I said, that is the last thing I have for you guys today. I'm going to maximize myself back up here. You're going to get me all full screened. Ah, there's that edge. Oh, and let me take you over to the other edge. And up. All right. As always, thank you guys for watching. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Mash that bell icon so you get notified of all the new videos as I put them up. For my auditory only friends on podcast, subscribe to me on your favorite podcast platform, and I will see you guys again tomorrow. Later, nerds. Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.